Welcome to Kairos Church, where we encourage one another daily to live and love like Jesus. We're so glad you're here. Join us each week as we dive into God's Word and explore what it means to live a life of faithful worship, devoted discipleship, authentic community, and intentional mission. If you're in the area, we'd love to see you in person. Our service is every Sunday morning at 10 a.m. You're welcome here anytime. Hope you enjoy the service.
Amen. Good gracious, we're having church today. Holy cow. Amen, amen. I am so glad to see you. My name is Lindsay Slocum, and I'm the lead pastor, and I am so delighted to worship with you this morning. It's just this beautiful morning, and there's a flower cross and music and Ryan and Clark and everybody. It's just gorgeous, and so I am so grateful to get to be with you this morning. We're going to look at the Easter story, the resurrection story in the Gospel of Matthew, but before we do that, let's go to God in prayer. Holy God, we give you thanks for this day, for this opportunity to worship, to hear your word over and over again, and to experience you in a whole new way. So as we turn to your word now, Lord, we pray that you would continue to speak, that you would continue to move, Lord, that you would continue to mold us and shape us. Lord, may this encounter with you be so powerful, we cannot walk away unchanged. In your holy name we pray, amen. So I'm going to invite you to listen now for the word of the Lord from Matthew 28. I'll start at verse 1 and read the first 10 verses. After the Sabbath, as the first day of the week was dawning, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary went to see the tomb. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descending from heaven came and rolled back the stone and sat on it. His appearance was like lightning and his clothing white as snow. For fear of him, the guards shook and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, "Don't be afraid, for I know that you're looking for Jesus who was crucified. He's not here, for he has been risen, as he said. Come and see the place where he lay, and then go quickly and tell his disciples he has been raised from the dead. And indeed, he is going ahead of you to Galilee, and there you will see him. This is my message for you." So they left the tomb quickly, and with fear and great joy, they ran to tell the disciples. Suddenly, Jesus met them and said, "Greetings." And they came to him, took hold of his feet, and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see me." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Listen, I have a really dear friend who is a pastor, and she's amazing, and I love her. And so as I tell this story, I just want you to hear the utmost respect with which I speak of her. But y'all, one time she was in charge of the children's moment for Easter, and it was not nearly as fun as the whole like march and praise you the Lord situation we had up here. But she calls all the children to come to the front, and it's Easter, right? So thousands and thousands of children materialize up on the front of the steps. And this wonderful, marvelous pastor says, "I have a treat for one of you." What? And so like I'm sitting up there and I'm like, and she pulls out this tiny little pack of gum and she hands it, says, "Now who wants to have this one piece of gum?" Chaos ensues, right? We're like have a little church child revolt situation happening. And so somehow she picks this one kid and she hands, y'all, she hands this piece of gum to this one child, and this one child unwraps said piece of gum. It's empty. She has written on the wrapper, "The gum is no longer here." And then she claps her hands in delight and says, "It's empty, just like the tomb." What? Ooh, the blood drains from my face as we have now taught thousands of people how sad it is that Jesus Christ is risen. It was the saddest happy Easter ever. But I will tell you, I think it raises a good question. Are we happy or sad that the tomb is empty? I think that Mary and Mary Magdalene, as they're journeying that morning to the tomb, I think they're wondering, they're confused. How do we feel this morning? I'm wondering, as they traveled to the tomb, how they were feeling, what they were thinking or saying to one another. I wonder if they were angry. I wonder if they were angry at Pilate or the crowd who's shouting, "Crucify him." Or maybe they're mad at Jesus. He just went along with everything so willingly. Or maybe they're weeping. Maybe they're weeping silently and holding hands in comfort and solidarity. Maybe they're disappointed. The one who was supposed to be the Messiah, the one who was supposed to save them, was a fraud. He was incapable of doing the things he promised he would do for his followers. I want to tell you something that's really interesting that Matthew tells us in the scriptures that the other gospel writers don't tell us. Matthew tells us that Mary, the other Mary, and Mary Magdalene, that they go to the tomb to see the tomb. Luke and Mark, they talk about the women going to anoint the body, that they're traveling to anoint the body, but that's not what Matthew sees here. What Matthew sees are these two women. He talks about how sealed up the tomb is. Matthew doesn't think they're going to get in there. He says that they went to see the tomb. They wanted to be close to this one that they loved, to be in the presence, just the presence of where his body lay, that maybe that would bring them comfort. But when they get there, when they get to the tomb, Matthew alone is the only gospel to tell us there's an earthquake. Now, this is a big deal for Matthew because Matthew also gave us an earthquake on Friday. On Friday, when Jesus dies, there's an earthquake in the book of Matthew. For Matthew, earthquakes are always appearing when God is shaking the foundations of things we think are secure. And then, after the earthquake, an angel appears and rolls the stone away. And we don't know what the women are thinking or feeling at this exact moment, but there's some context clues to help us guess. Because the guards are so afraid, they become like dead men. And the angels look at the women, and whatever their faces look like, the first thing the angels say is, "Don't be afraid." And I wonder if in this moment, when they don't know what's going on, all they can do is look in that tomb and see that Jesus' body's not there. The angels haven't told them yet what's going on, and all they know is that things aren't how they left them. They don't understand what's going on. Where is Jesus' body? And I'm wondering if they're happy or sad when they see that the tomb is empty. Has Jesus let them down again? Is everything going to get worse? What if things are so out of control that they're never going to feel stable again? What if this terribleness, the disappointment, the grief, the anger, what if this is the best it's going to be? What if the ground continues to shake and will never stand on sure footing again? Questions we still ask. And so we come and we read about these women, and we read that we can safely read that they are afraid, right? In that 10-verse passage that we read in the Gospel of Matthew, he references the word fear 4 times. Clearly, the fear is real. Is it good or is it bad that the tomb is empty? Now, since the kids are in here today, I wanted to introduce them to a friend who also understood what it felt like to be afraid and to know fear. Maybe it's a friend that you are familiar with. It's my good friend, Llama Llama. I'm actually going to pick up in the middle of the book, but if you are not familiar with Llama Llama, you need to get on Amazon right now and order the book. But Llama Llama has gone to bed in his red pajamas, his favorite, I'm sure, and he's waiting on Mama Llama to come and say goodnight to Llama Llama in his red pajamas, but Mama Llama gets distracted, and so she's not quite there yet. So we're going to pick up where it says, Llama Llama, red pajama, waiting, waiting for his mama. Mama isn't coming yet. Baby Llama starts to fret. Llama Llama, red pajama, whispers softly for his mama. Mama Llama hears the phone. Baby Llama starts to moan. Llama Llama, red pajama, listens quiet for his mama. What is Mama Llama doing? Baby Llama starts boo-hooing. Llama Llama, red pajama, hollers loudly for his mama. Baby Llama stomps and pouts. Baby Llama jumps and shouts. Llama Llama, red pajama, in the dark without his mama. Eyes wide open, covers drawn. What if Mama Llama's gone? Llama Llama, red pajama, weeping, wailing for his mama. Will his mama ever come? Mama Llama, run, run, run! Baby Llama, what a tizzy. Sometimes Mama's very busy. Please stop all this llama drama and be patient for your mama. Little Llama, don't you know, Mama Llama loves you so. Mama Llama's always near, even if she's not right here. Mama Llama goes on to give lots of snuggles and hugs and affection. But we read the book, and it's adorable, and I'm very good at reading it. But you heard yourself in that book, though. You felt yourself in that same places where you're wondering what's going on, and you begin to fret. And the fretting takes over, and we're weeping, and we're wailing, and things are out of control. And we ask ourselves, what if God is really gone? Last week on Palm Sunday, I begged you not to skip from Sunday to Sunday. I said, please live into Monday, Thursday, live into Good Friday, because for the power of Easter Sunday, to feel that power, we need to we got to lean in and feel the heart of Thursday and Friday. And after church last week, we're all kind of hanging out and I'm chatting, and someone says to me, listen, I get it. I understand. We need to do Thursday. We need to do Friday. I get it, but I got to tell you, I'm ready for Easter. I need a reminder that the good guys win. We need that. We need that reminder, because we're fretting and we're weeping and we're wailing. We need a reminder that the hurt, that the betrayal, that the fear, that the brokenness, that power struggles, that the places where our minds or bodies or memories are failing us, we need to remember that those places don't get to win. And we keep asking, what if God is gone and the fear is real? And we need the reminder of today. And this angel then in our story, he tells the women, the tomb isn't empty. Not because God is gone. Not because Jesus is gone, but because Jesus is risen. And the angel says he's already on his way to Galilee to hang out with everybody. And this, y'all, this is the good news. This is why we've gathered together today, because God is near, because Jesus did come back. He did exactly what he said he would do. And when he did that, when the tomb was empty, he defeated death, and he defeated all of those things that live rent-free in our minds and spirits that we hold on to, the fear and the fretting and the burdens and the pain and the waiting and the needing to be in control. All of that got to be defeated. Because the tomb is empty, because Jesus is risen, and that is good news. Scott Black Johnson says that God steps into places where death lurks and fear unspools us. That God stands with us, always with us, and when our hopes teeter, when God does what only God can do, The Almighty declares that Jesus, the wise teacher, the caring healer, the gracious friend, the beloved child of heaven, is not dead. Jesus isn't finished, not now, not ever. The tomb is empty, and this changes everything. And listen, let me tell you my favorite part. Matthew, I didn't even know that I loved Matthew's version the best, but Matthew is like super high on the drama, and I'm totally here for that. And he's got the earthquake, and he's got all the women and the angels unrolling the stone, the tomb, that's all. And then they send the women to go to the message, and then they run into Jesus. And Jesus tells them to go hang out in Galilee and tell all the people, and it's so exciting. And then we get to verse 8. Y'all, verse 8, if you remember nothing else, I need you to remember verse 8. Because in verse 8, it says, the women left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy. With fear and great joy. Do you see what's happening here? The fear hasn't been vanquished, not yet, because the women haven't laid their eyes on Jesus yet. They're still feeling some of that fear. But when Easter dawns, when the tomb is empty, when Jesus has risen, that fear then is joined by the companion of great joy. The empty tomb brings us great joy. And that's good news. This morning at 5 a.m., y'all, 5 a.m., my phone starts blowing up. Everybody that I've ever been to seminary with or served at a church, all the pastors are pumped. It's Easter. We've been talking about this all year. Jesus Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah, hallelujah, all over my phone. Everybody's excited because this is what we live for. This is what we've staked our lives on. This is what we've staked our careers on. This is good news. The tomb is empty, it's good news, and it brings great joy. And the reality is, we haven't laid our eyes on Jesus yet. We still got places where there's fear and hurt and disappointment and brokenness. There's still places that are hard. We haven't laid our eyes on Jesus yet. But that empty tomb brings us great joy. That allows us to sit in a hospital room. It allows us to live and breathe and survive and do the things that we need to do because we know our fear is not the last word. The joy comes in the empty tomb. So this morning, y'all, I would invite you to remember that even when it seems that God has left, even when it seems like we've been deserted or unloved, the good news is this, we are an Easter Sunday people. We know the grave is empty. We know that our hurt and our fear are not the final word. We are a people who are defined by an empty tomb, who have this companion of great joy, and we are freed from the burden of being held captive by our fear. Y'all, today's Easter morning. Jesus is running back up those stairs to remind us he is never far away. And we can rest easy in the hope of the resurrected Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.